to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 329 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal Sean Orford, who is still overseas. You all right, Sean?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm still here in the sand.
Yeah, you're heading back in a couple of days, though, eh?
Yeah, I'll be back. And by the time this goes out, I will be flying.
Ah, of course, so, yeah. Yeah, you've had a good stint out there, hey?
Yeah, 3 weeks. 3 weeks, lots to do, busy time.
How are they going to survive without you, though?
I don't know. How does anybody survive without me?
Well, it'll be good to have you back, and you'll be back in Pacific Road next week, eh? Recording face to face.
Yeah, we'll get a nice balanced recording.
Yes, very good. Yeah, I think last week was all right, actually, and this is looking okay, but yeah, we haven't had any direct complaints. I'm a perfectionist, aren't I? So I do worry about these things. We're talking about nature today, aren't we, Sean? About getting into your life and how healthy it can be, or assuming it is. Spoiler alert, nature is good for you every now and again, hey?
I think that the point is, for me, is that we actually are living in a really weird way where we're living outside of nature. Mm. I mean, we're not living in a nice, easy, harmonious relationship with nature. We've created environments that have nothing to do with nature. If things like electricity didn't exist, we'd all die out. Crazy.
Yeah, things are quite fragile, but all right, we'll come on to that in a sec. liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. All the show notes and links are over there. Sean's written a blog post to go with this as well, as he always does. And if you sign up for the mailing list, you'll get some free meditation files and alerts, weekly alerts for the show as well, which goes out to over 1,000 people every week, which is cool.
Yeah.
Anything exciting over there? Sean, are you just kind of working hard and then straight back to your apartment and get some sleep?
No, I've actually been out twice. I've been out once for a meal and once for a drink, which is very rare here, down in what's called the Belgian Bar, which was fun.
Okay.
But apart from that, it's been wall to wall, a lot of stuff to do.
Work, and it will carry on when you get home, I take it as well?
Yeah. It's an ongoing process. So when I'm not here, I'm doing stuff online from here as well.
Of course. Work. Well, I had my first Rethink event yesterday. So I did a little community interest company we set up, myself and Tanya. We organised the Leverhulme Summer Cycle. It was a success, but it was not always destined. We didn't think it was going to be because it'd been lovely weather all week. Saturday was amazing, if you like sun. But the forecast was looking iffier, and I woke up at 5:30 in the morning. I was woken 5:30 in the morning to the noise of torrential rain battering down outside the window.
Yeah, right.
It was still raining when I got up at 7, and then, got up at 6:30, and then cycled at 7 with Will to the venue, which is just a couple of miles into the countryside from where we are, which is what's going to get me on to talking about nature and countryside. But the rain eased and stopped, and we took the decision. It was a bit iffy whether it was going to be on or not, because these kind of country tracks are a bit susceptible to rain. But it wasn't too bad, and we just thought, what the hell? Let's do it, man. Let's open the gates. People were asking on Facebook, is it on? and we said, it's on. So I didn't have the insurance anyway for like wet weather cancellation stuff. So we had to do it. but it was really stressful getting set up. We were all worried, and some of the exhibitors had backed out because of the rain, perhaps. But as soon as 10 o'clock came, people started arriving. We had marshals and volunteers directing everyone in, and it was amazing. It was fantastic. Everyone was smiling and happy, even though the rain came back again around lunchtime. It just got me thinking, really, about, which leads on to this episode, about nature and kind of the happiness it can bring, the simplicity of it. because it wasn't like a, and I was kind of spelt this out in a couple of interviews I did in the local radio talking about the event. I was kind of quite keen to point out that the event wasn't going to be, you know, don't expect any razzmatazz, no kind of jugglers or clowns or, you know, unicyclists breathing fire. It's just going to be a chance for people to walk or cycle on these hidden, usually hidden tracks of the world, and people can come along and, you know, enjoy that. And it worked because people were just kind of congregating and talking and everyone was smiling and happy. You could get a coffee. There was a Dutch-style chip van where you could buy some food as well. And it was just simple. It was simple, but everyone was, like, loving it. So, yeah, it was kind of a win for humanity, I felt.
Yeah, that's good.
So what is it about nature that is calming, and why do we not get enough, or how do we get more?
I think the reason that nature is calming is because we're supposed to be in it.
Okay.
Nature is our natural state to be in. We're not naturally in high-rise blocks of apartments. You know, we're not naturally living in centrally heated houses.
So it's a bit like coming home.
Yeah. We live in very unreal environments. You know, that we pretend normal, but they're not normal at all.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I guess in the history of humanity, the kind of last 200 or 300 years where we've settled down and become very civilized, inverted commas, is a really short space of time, isn't it, for our species? So,
yeah,
maybe we all just want to be living in the woods, hearing the pitter patter of the rain, and you know, just living far simpler lives.
So you just said something which is very relevant, which is, you said maybe we should all be living in the woods. Now, there was a time when we were all living in the woods, but what we've done is we have collectively cleared all the trees from all the land. And we moan about the Amazonian rainforest being taken out, but the whole of Britain, the whole of Europe was covered in forest once.
True story, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now we demand other people clear their woods so that we can make off nice furniture.
Yeah.
Mm.
Not yet.
No, I mean, do you prescribe nature to people as a kind of a natural remedy to some of their mental health issues?
Very much. And that may be like doing something like going to the gym, but in reality, just going out and being in the in nature itself, in itself is relaxing. And it's because, and we don't realise this unless we get into things like essential oils or into kind of aromatherapy, but our bodies respond to the pheromones that are given off by herbs and plants.
Right.
So about pine, and it is calming to the system, the pine oils and the pine scents. But also lavender. Lavender is hugely effective on the system. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of articles I'm going to stick in the show notes that talk about houseplants that you can get to kind of. Because one of the things I'm concerned about is that us 9-to-5 suburbanites, we're very kind of set in our ways and we have our habits. So we work hard in the week and we got school runs and all that stuff going on.
Yeah.
And then at the weekend, we have this 2-day window to do things, and that's often when we all get our nature time in, which might involve, you know, driving half an hour to Delamere Forest or some other nice country place. And it just feels a bit sterile to me, just the kind of the act of having to have this set time every week where we go and unwind. And it feels like we should have it more built into our everyday lives, if you know what I mean.
So how would you do that?
Well, I see it a bit in design. I don't know what the hospital in Qatar where you are is like. Does that have a place where people on their lunch break, or even the offices they work in, some of the management staff or the backroom staff, are they sterile, or are there places where you can go to kind of unwind?
Yeah. In the hospital, although it's in the middle of a desert, it has three, what they call them, the healing gardens, that they have. They're like forests. They've got trees in there and waterfalls and stuff like that. They're inside the building, and they have kind of glass roofs so that the trees function like trees. But it is like going outside inside. It's a very weird experience, but it's very, very clever the way it's been done.
Yeah, and do people value that? Does it get well used, or is it somewhere where people go to?
It's a case of some people do and some people don't, really. There's times I go out to the Healing Gardens and there's no one there at all. I go out there another time and then it's good.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about when you go to like a garden centre and when you go through the different... That's how middle class I am. And like how civilized I am, I go to garden centers now. But like, I always when you'll go through like the lawnmower bit, or you'll go through the bit where they're selling all the big pots and all that, and then you'll get to the bit where they're selling the trees and the big plants, and the atmosphere changes and it just feels calm. Do you get what I'm saying? Have you ever been to a garden center and you've got that feeling in those nice bits?
Yeah.
So I'm looking around. I'm working at home today. So I'm in our living room working. We don't actually in this room have any greenery, no plants. Sometimes we'll have some flowers in here. But right now there isn't anything going on, except for, and this is one of the tips on a link I'm going to put in about 20 ways to incorporate nature in your home. And one way is, so it's got things like bringing in stones and rocks you might have found and driftwood as art pieces or other art pieces on the wall. One thing it says is actually, you know, the fabrics that you use for curtains or for, say, duvet covers, that kind of thing, if you can have nature as prints on them, that can help. That kind of that has an impact on your mental health.
Yeah.
And the vibe of a room. Yeah. So I'm looking at our round. We do actually have curtains that have plants on them. So that's, but yeah, we could do a bit better in this room, I think, personally speaking.
Yeah.
What's going on in your apartment?
Well, one of the things that's really strange about being out here in the desert is that when they create the apartments, outside everything is beige. It's a beige colour. Whereas if you're in somewhere like Europe or Ireland, you know, where it's very green, you've got a lot of greenness. And that's the thing that always strikes me when I come back from here, is how green the UK is.
Yeah.
But this is beige outside. And it must be to do with the way that people's psyches are programmed. But what they do is all the apartments and the hotel rooms are beige as well. Everything is beige inside and outside. It's brown beiges. It's really, really strange. But it's obviously the natural environmental colour that people resonate with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There must be some kind of... Because, you know, I was in the Mediterranean recently in Mallorca, and the buildings are all bright, brilliant white, and inside as well. And I think that's kind of... because it reflects a lot of the light and the heat as it, you know, it's trying to cool the place down naturally. And there are ways you can cool rooms down with certain plants. In fact, one of the hacks on, I think it was the, lifehack.org, and that's 8 house plants that can dramatically improve your health. And there was one in particular, I think it was a type of fern. I can't remember the exact species, but I'll put the link in. And that type of fern works well in warm climates because it acts like a natural dehumidifier, apparently.
Oh, right.
And there's all sorts of other ones it mentions, like aloe vera. Having in there can be a handy thing to have around.
Aloe vera is really good in the kitchen because if you burn yourself, all you've got to do is just snap the end of one of the leafy bits off and rub the aloe vera straight onto the burn. It works well.
That does the trick.
Yeah.
Very cool. But yeah, I know the articles I'm going to link up show, talk about having plants and herbs, garden herbs in your close to hand, partly because they're quite handy to have herbs, you know, rosemary. Or we used to have a rosemary bush, which died last year, actually. But we were always heading out into the garden and snipping a little bit off to put in our dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah, what about you? Any other tips you can think or some specific examples of things you will... Is it just a case you will tell people to go for a walk in the woods, or is it certain people just better at, I don't know, going to the beach, or is it different things for different people?
I think it is different for different people. It's even if you talk about things like running. Some people like to run, but they want to run on a treadmill in the gym. You know, some people want to run on a road. Some people want to run in the country. It's what floats your boat, I guess. But the thing, I think overall for me is the whole idea that we are naturally a part of nature, and we've excluded ourselves from it to the point where we don't even realise what's going on with it anymore until we get into disaster situations. Then it becomes, yesterday there was a funeral service for one of the glaciers.
Right. Okay. I didn't know that one, but I've seen some of that stuff going on. Yeah.
In Switzerland, they actually had a funeral, everybody dressed in black, for this glacier, which is now really just a few lumps of ice and lots of stones and mud. And it used to be a proper heavy glacier. And the reality is that, whether Trumpy likes it or not, that global warming is a reality and nature is starting to get its own back on us.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
For what we've done, yeah, it's like it starts to bounce back again, whether you want to call that karma or whatever you want to call it. But it is coming back again to say hello. And that is tough for people. It's tough. It's going to be tough for lots of people. And not least of all, I mean, here, obviously, water is an issue. Mm. So they're actually taking water from the sea and desalinating it. But for lots of people, it's going to be that there will be no water to feed the crops, to get the, to irrigate the crops, so that we can feed ourselves on them.
Yeah, I was speaking to a farm mate over the weekend who was kind of involved, sort of, or nearby with our event, and he's just got back from a trip to New York where he was, I don't know, it was some conference or he was just out there to learn about how things go on over there and crops are done, but concern is growing big time, even in America, amongst the farmers, about how things are changing and how the seasons are shifting and how our, it's just getting trickier to predict the weather. And it's the same over here, yeah. He's really worried, actually, big time about the future. And he's already making a loss on the food that he grows. He's never made a profit, he said, in 20 years on the food. He's always had to figure out other ways to supplement his income or to make an income. We're heading towards this crazy new world where not only we've got environmental stuff going on, but we've also got, like, political chaos. So, yeah, he's worried. So yeah, and the farmers are worried, and maybe farmers always are worried because farming's a tricky business to be in, isn't it? You never know exactly what's going to happen anyway. But
yeah,
it's a bit scary, really.
Yeah,
I would say.
Yeah, this, and I think that that a part of that is, I mean, your drive to get people out of cars on the road, in the real sense on the road, and sort of back into nature, like the event that you put on at the weekend. I wonder how many people of those 300 that went to the activity that you organised had actually been outdoors in the country, in contact with nature in the recent past, and how many of them was like, oh, this is like a new experience here.
Yeah, well, I think because of the weather we had, I think the people that did show up were pretty hardcore, like up for getting out and about, because they all had the right kit and they were basically not worried one little bit about a bit of rain, which was actually really refreshing, because we probably just had the hardcore folks there that were just up for fun, whatever the weather. So it was all really positive vibes. So, yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, yeah, part of me's not worried. But, the event that we ran might have been a bit off limits to people, well, A, that haven't got bikes, or B, don't feel, I don't know, is there a certain chunk of society, maybe it's probably related to kind of income and the class structure in the UK even, that don't feel welcome at a place, in a posh, private tracts of some private land. They might not have felt like they could go there. Or maybe they don't feel like they can go to the local park because they don't feel part of that scene. I don't know. What do you think?
I think it could be a little more complex than that, in the sense that how many children say in a regular town type situation, I would be happier being in their bedroom or in the lounge, using some kind of game machine, playing on a screen. And if the option that you're offering them is, hey, let's go and walk in the woods, let's go in the park, let's go and feed the ducks, you know, I wonder how many people, how many kids would actually think, yeah, I'd like to do that, as opposed to thinking, you kidding? What do you want me doing that for?
Yeah, I know. Well, I've got two very different little lads, and William, who came and helped me set up yesterday, is a completely different character to his brother, because I woke Will up at 6:30 to get ready to go, and the rain was still coming down outside, and I kind of gingerly woke him up and said, listen, man, it's raining, do you want to come, or do you want to come later on with your mum? And he just his eyes opened straight away, and he was like, I'm coming. And he put in a 10-hour shift, William, yesterday, just helping out, moving things and making sure people were happy. Yeah. He ended up taking people out on tours because they didn't know which way to go. And he was like, I'll take you, I'll show you. So he was taking them off on the bikes down these lanes. And, you know, he'd come back half an hour later with them all smiling. whereas Jacob showed up with his mum, with Bethan, later on. And, you know, he was very unimpressed. So we're all different in on that sense as well, aren't we? But surely, at a fundamental level, all human beings are at home, out and about, or are we? Am I just making that up?
No, I think you are making it up, because I don't think people are out and about. I think that you're looking at you rather than the general population. I don't think people are.
Does every human being, and the root of it, are they all comfortable in nature, in a woodland area or on the beach or something like that? Or are some people just not that way? Have we just started to rewire ourselves and some people are just fully on board with, like, the urbanism now and concrete everywhere?
Well, one of the things that I see quite a lot is when you do the kind of work I do and you do deep relaxations with people and you're talking people through, some people, if you were just going to take them for a walk in the woods as a visualization exercise, that would actually make them anxious, because they're so removed from that experience of being in the woods. The idea of being in a wood and there being trees and things hiding behind trees and the unknown and that kind of stuff is really scary and can produce anxiety for them.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Well, another person, if you've got them on the beach, someone might be relaxed, but someone else might be thinking, well, you must be kidding. Who knows what's on the beach here? That could be scary.
Yeah, I think it's my brother. He hates the sensation of sand on his feet, and he just hates getting sand in between his toes. He just thinks it's really annoying. I'm not sure he hates it, but he's not a big fan of going to the beach, whereas, you know, I'm pretty cool with it on the whole.
Yeah.
I'm really interested in design, obviously, and kind of the interior design aspect of things, so that you've got nature in front of you when you wake up and when you go downstairs, or, you know, into the next room in the morning. There's loads of tips in some of the articles I'm going to put on in how you can kind of make your home a little hub for nature, so that you're getting that daily fix of what you need, you know, not by having to drive somewhere every weekend to get it. It's kind of there when you wake up.
So what are you thinking of when you say that?
I mentioned a few earlier on, but bringing in stones and rocks that you might found out and about, using driftwood to make artwork out of, or even just having more wooden features in terms of shelving and what have you. There's plants and herbs you can bring into your house that can grow inside and will help. Well, they'll help kind of with your kind of the aesthetics of the place, but they'll also help. Certain plants are really good at absorbing microbes and bacteria and stuff like that, and even like mold. I can't remember which one it is really good. I read just before. Absorbs like 90% of airborne mold. And then even, I mentioned the fabric of your curtains and your sheets, and the color, the choice of colour in a place like you say in Qatar, everywhere's beige, whether that's just because it's cheapest and easiest, or whether that's kind of what people, that kind of, that culture is just used to and likes. I don't know, but colour as well is a big thing, isn't it?
Yeah, very much.
So yeah,
because colour stimulates you in. If you have neutral colours, you know, some blues and greens, you see in hospitals, they can be quite just kind of calming. Mm. They can be quite calming, their own effect. Whereas things like red colours can be overstimulating. They can be quite tough.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Have you got anything else? Have you got a resource of the week to talk about?
I've got, and this is a blast of my past, my childhood. We used to, they're still doing them, but when I was a kid, they had I Spy books.
Yeah.
And the I Spy books, you could have one on birds or, you know, whatever. And the idea was that you went and looked to see if you could find whatever it was and tick them off in the book and record where you found it. So I've included the I Spy Nature book, which is dead cheap on Amazon. And the way that they work is that when you get kids that are engaged in it, they actually want to go out and see if they can find things in the book. You know.
Nice.
It's a good deal, yeah.
Very cool. All right, check that out. I'm going to link to a video on permaculture living I saw a couple of weeks ago, which is quite relevant. And it's a couple that have committed their way of living to a little short film. And they've basically stripped back their lives massively, so they're environmentally the kind of way, way ahead of your average person, myself included. Almost self-sufficient in food and what have you, and transport, obviously walking and cycling. And yeah, so their income is low, but they live quite a rich life, as they explain, because they don't have the type of lives that need. I think they're Australian, so. Tens of thousands of dollars, they don't need that. So if you ask them how much they earn, they don't earn much, but their lives are quite rich. So yeah, worth looking at, I would say.
Yeah, sounds good.
So yeah, we're all done. Sean, you have a safe flight, and I'll see you back in Birkenhead next week. I bet you're dead excited about that, hey?
I am, and we'll be all normal again.
Oh, well, as normal as we can be. All right, have a safe flight, good few days, and we'll catch you up later.
Okay, see you now, bye.
See you, sure. Bye.